Okay, open up to Matthew 5. I'm going to do the same. I had one of those lessons during the night. I don't know how else to put it, but when I wake up, the lesson is already going on. Tim taught me years ago to always have a recording device handy, either that or something to write on, so that when the Holy Ghost shows you things or speaks to you, you capture that. And you always think, oh, I'll remember it. Yeah, okay, I got others here that bear witness. No, and it's not that you might get parts of it, but it's better. Now, he will bring it back again. If you absolutely miss it and you lose it, trust me, if you keep praying, don't ask me how I know this, he'll bring it back. But I have learned over the years to capture it. And so when those lessons come up like that, then my job is to get in there and I sneak into the office, try not to wake Sue up, which is usually early, usually before dawn when these things happen. But in fact, actually, I pinched together Matthew 5:16 and Acts 10:38, because that's what happened in this lesson. You know, my job, well, all of us, is to meditate the Word and really assimilate the books, get them in you, so you're equipped for day and night meditation, as Dave would say. And then spend a lot of time praying in the Holy Ghost. But his job is really the teacher. He's the one that brings the understanding. Well, this was on the 18th, which today is what, the 23rd? So it's pretty recent. And when I woke up, very often with me, there'll be like a split screen in my mind. I see one thing on the left and another thing on the right. And when he does that, he's usually showing me these two are the same thing. Okay? So this time on the left was Matthew 5:16, which says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." Now notice that phrase, good works, "and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." And on the right-hand side, I saw Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. You see that? If you're doing good, wouldn't that good be good works? Who went about doing good? What kind of good? And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Amen? Now, in Sunday school, "Let your little light shine, I'm going to let it shine." You know, and well, first off, you don't have a little light. You got a great big light. I like how Nathan said it the other day, that light of life that come into you when you got born again, that life was the same life that raised Jesus from the dead. And you don't have something less. You don't have a lesser light. You've got that same light on the inside of you. So the light is the same. It might be how thick the flesh is, how much is shining. But anyway, that's not tonight's lesson exactly. I did read one. I heard, you know what? If you're in pitch black darkness, though, listen, don't ever take, well, I'm not able, at where I'm walking right now, I'm not raising the dead. I'm not, when I lay hands on people, they're not jumping out of wheelchairs. Well, it's not that the light's not in there. We're all learning how to release the light. Amen. I heard one preacher, this is way back. This must be 40, 50 years ago I heard this, but it stuck with me. He said, if you're lost and it's one of those dark nights, the prettiest cave I was ever in was Onondaga Caverns. If you ever get a chance to go in there, it's just beautiful. It's in Missouri. Onondaga. Oh, I can't spell it, but anyway. It's not Merrimack, that's close, but the very next exit, I think, is Onondaga. It's close. Beautiful down in there. Boy, they've got these curtains. I mean, you know, these formations in this cave, and they have different colored lights. But at one point, while you're going through there, he says, now don't anyone move. Just stay where you are. We're going to show you the natural beauty of the cave as it existed when it was discovered. And they flipped the lights off. I'm telling you, it is darkness that you can feel. You cannot, you can put your hand right in, you cannot see your hand in front of your face. You know, I mean, I always think of that when I think ultimate darkness. But this preacher 40 or 50 years ago, he said, talking about your little light, he says, listen, if you're lost and it's really dark, you would really appreciate. He said, you know, the smallest candle will give enough light you can walk towards it. Jesus says, you can't even give a cup of cold water in my name and lose your reward. Amen? Now, we're all letting our light shine to some degree. So you just never know what good works you may be doing even now. See? But really what he's talking about, he's bringing us to the revival stage of letting the real light, the light of life, shine from the inside of us. So James talks about pure religion and undefiled and acceptable to God is to visit widows and orphans in their affliction and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Well, it's one thing to help widows and orphans. You know, that's something you can do in the natural. You know, Muslims can do that too, though. Unsaved people can do that. See? It's good to do those things. But the light, the works that he's really trying to bring us to right now is the same kind. The reason he put that split screen on there, he's wanting everybody, not the one-man show, not the fivefold, not the apostle, the prophet, believers, to the place where the light that's in you, which is Christ, the light that's in you so shines. Now notice that men may see and glorify, see those good works and glorify your Father. You can do good works in the natural, something of your own. Okay, be careful here. Because he wants us to do those things. He wants us to take care of the widow and the orphan. And you know, you see, if you've got two cars and somebody has no car, you know, you might give them a car. If you got, how does Jesus say, if you got two coats and they don't have a coat, give them a coat. Amen. Those are all good things, see. But really anybody can do those things. What they might do is start glorifying you if they see you doing those things. You'll have to tell them. But listen, when you get them out of the wheelchair, now they might start like they did with Peter trying to make something out of you. Hopefully you've been here long enough. You're purged from that. I'm telling you, when it really happens where everybody is letting their light shine like what he's wanting to do, you're going to see it real plain. Anybody can do that. Let me say it this way. Any believer can do that. You're not special. It's not because of your holiness. It's not because of some secret power, some special thing. This is what's called the believer's anointing. And he wants it to so shine before men that they have to glorify your Father. They said, well, they can't do that. That's got to be God. And they glorify your Father. And he got it across. See, now the way it's worded, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men. So this, and that they may see. Men are going to see these good works. He cannot be talking about your giving. Now the Pharisees would blow a trumpet, apparently, when they were about to give. I can't imagine that really happening. I kind of can. They don't blow a trumpet today. You know what they do? They get a great big 4x8 foot check. And they get on TV, don't they? And we are giving zama zama dollars, you know. See? Well, the equivalent, I guess, back then, Dave did it this way. Dun da da dun da da dun da da dun da da. Everybody gather around. I'm about to give to the poor. Well, Jesus says, no. When you give alms, let it be done in secret, that your Father, which sees in secret, he'll reward you openly. He said also about the Pharisees, and you could say anybody religious that wants to be puffed, adored by men. Well, they love to pray long prayers, and they love the chief places in the synagogue. And, you know, how does Dave do that with the Mr. Toad voice, you know?
Oh, Father, thou art the great mediator. And anyway,
he says, no. You pray in secret, that your Father which hears in secret may reward you openly. Fasting is a little harder to hide, especially if you do a longer one. You know, because people are going to notice you're going away. Okay, but there are things that people do to draw attention to themselves. Now, I've never seen anybody yet do the makeup like he's talking about in here. They'll blacken their eyes and things to make them look more hollow. Look how much I love God. I'm not eating food. Dave said he wanted to do that on his first longer fast. There's a little kid going by on a tricycle. He wanted to stop him and say, look how much I love God. I love our pastor. So it can't be those things, you know, which giving, praying, and fasting. No, this is the definition. When Jesus says, I want your light to so shine that men will see it. Men will see it. And they'll wind the end result, they'll glorify God. And the end result of that is they're going to come to Jesus and be saved. Amen? See, Mark 16 again. Okay, let's go to Mark 16. You know how your Bibles used to fall open to Romans 8? And now they're going to fall open to Romans 8 and Mark 16, I guess. Verse 17, these signs, and if you have not yet underlined the word signs, I don't know how many years I read this and I did not get it because I didn't pick up that word. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now, these signs are exactly the same thing. These are the good works that we are to let that light shine so men can see them. Now, the men he's really got in mind here in Mark 16 are unsaved people. Unsaved people that think they don't think your Jesus is real. They don't think your gospel is real. They think Buddha is God or Vishnu is God or Allah is God or some other thing, you know. And our job is not just to tell them. Our job is to show them. Let that light shine. Amen. Now, one of the ways you let it shine. Yes, sir. Alan was in John today. Was that John 8? I think so. Go to John. I think it's 8. As you can tell, I didn't get to outline this one the way I like to. Alan was teaching from the woman caught in adultery today, and I'm not even going to try and teach that again. If you weren't here, you need to hear that one. It was fantastic. But let's pick it up at the end of it here. John 8, verse 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No, Lord. Or no man, Lord, and Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, when he said that to her, she is still a sinner by nature, and Alan brought that out. But Jesus is teaching. See, from the time of John the Baptist, from the day that Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan, from that day, he was teaching the kingdom of God. Even though the kingdom of God would not be available for two, three more years until he was raised from the dead, he was teaching and laying out the principle. So he says to her, go and sin no more, knowing that she's still a sinner by nature. But now notice in verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Would you call living in adultery living in darkness? Absolutely. But he's saying this, it's almost like this woman is still there. And he's saying, now go and sin no more. And maybe she's still there. If I was her and he forgave me, I'd hang around. Okay? So I want to hear what this man has to say. But he says, now, those that follow me, and he's talking about following him on into the new birth, they're not going to continue to walk in darkness. Why? Because they're going to have the light of life. Later on in the same chapter, he says, verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word," would that be following him? "If you continue in my word," what if I said it this way? "If you continue in my word all the way to the new birth, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, as normal, the religious people thought he was talking in the natural. So they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man," which I always laugh when I read that. Just go back. You see now, Nebuchadnezzar, Egypt, on and on. They've been in bondage a lot, but anyway. "So how sayest thou, we shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whoso committeth sin is the servant, the slave of sin." He's talking about being made free from sin. He has not changed his thinking, even from verse 12. "If you follow me, you'll not walk in darkness. You won't be walking in this adultery lady, or whatever darkness you've been walking in, whoever you are, because you're going to have the light of life. One way that we are to let our light shine, we're supposed to walk different from the world. Different. They're supposed to see a difference. Peter writes about it. He says, they think you're weird. They think you're strange that you don't go to the same level of rioting and drinking and all as them. But he says, if they'll continue watching you, though, they'll finally have to say, they are of truth of God. They see a difference between us, the believer, and the world. Walking free from sin is supernatural. An unborn again human really cannot do it. You might do okay in some areas, but you can't really walk free. But we can walk free. That's one way you let your light shine. But in this lesson tonight, and I believe where he's taking us right now, he wants to equate our thinking with Matthew 5:16 and Luke 10:38. Excuse me. Matthew 5:16 and Acts 10:38. The good works he wants us to aspire to. See, if we went to John 17, he says in there, he says, "Father, as thou hast sent me, I am sending them." We are on the same mission. If he went about doing good or letting his light shine so that people could... I didn't have time to look them all up. Jesus says, "Many good works have I done among you." Good works. "For which of these do you stone me?" Well, then... Another place he says, "I and my Father are one. I do the works of my Father." That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. Going about doing good, healing. How many? All that are oppressed of the devil. Now that's our goal. That's the mark that we're pressing toward. Okay? Angie was telling me, now we've all prayed, and Angie, now that we're keeping a log since we've started this year. We're not going around videoing or Facebooking, but we are keeping a log. I want to see what our percentage is of the people we pray for that get healed. And she had an incident this week. She said, bless God, it was her, not me. She laid her hands on somebody and they got healed. You could see it. Now that's, you go, there's one going in the book. Well, it's the first of thousands. It's the first of thousands. Amen. I recommend you start doing that. Because even John G. Lake, and I listened to it, I think I said 74%. I went back and double-checked when I got home. 76% was the highest percentage that John G. Lake ever had. Even in those best years where they were getting 20,000 people a year verified healings. 76%. But Jesus healed them all. Well, I'm telling you right now, 76%. I'll tell you, if you don't ever start letting your light shine, I can already tell you what your percent is going to be. Zero. That's called 100% failure. And it's not a healing failure, it's an obedience failure. I'm going to say it again. I'm not looking at anybody right now. Most Christians in a year, and sometimes never, have ever laid their hands on a sick person to get them healed. But how? what's happened over the centuries, the true gospel that Jesus came and delivered to us has been so watered down. We're just old sinners just trying to make it. And, you know, even in the beginning, everybody, when they first get saved, gets all excited, you know. And Dave says, you remember those early days when you'd charge hell with a water pistol? You remember that? And we all, I can relate to those days. He says, you remember how you got your eyebrows singed off a couple of times? After a few runs like that, you go, I'm just trying to make heaven now, see? Well, boy, doesn't the devil love that. And he's gotten the whole church, for the most part, into either a social club where it's all things that man can do. We're for helping the orphans, helping the poor. We're all for anything like that. But we're not called to just those things. We are called to do the works, the same works that he did. Here we go. John 14:12. If we went there, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. And that's not going to change. It's going to be there next year and the year after that. It's been there. But what happened, the whole church got so beat down and indoctrinated with man's thinking instead of God's thinking, that now it's almost like, what? What? He could use me? He could heal somebody through me? Just little old me? Yeah. And you don't have no little light. I'm going to say it again. You got the light here. Go to John 1. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Now here it is. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now that's the light. That's the life that you received when you got born again. If we went to Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's the new nature, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, we just barely had the slightest comprehension of that. We've known a little bit. The church at large, has been so indoctrinated that you're just that same old person. You're just that same old person. You're just forgiven now. That is a lie from the pit of hell. I grew up under that doctrine. There is no hope for living above sin with that doctrine, because you think, I'm just the same old person. I'm just forgiven. You're forgiven, and you are a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You were a child of darkness. Now you have become a child of light. Walk as children of light. How would I do that? You let your light so shine before men that they may see those good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen? Now, look at this. Yes, sir. One time when I was meditating this passage, I saw, I don't know if it'll impact you the way it did me. The other verse is, the whole world lieth in darkness. You remember that? The whole world lieth in wickedness. It's like God's looking down on planet Earth and looking at the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Well, everybody's candle is, the light has gone out. Man's been born a sinner every generation since Adam. So God's looking down on the whole earth, looking at the spirits of humans, and not one of them is lit. There's not a light on the planet until His Son is conceived in the womb of Mary. Suddenly there is a light. Here it is right here. That light, a single solitary light that grows up, is baptized by John, and lives sin-free, by the way, before baptized. A light shining, all right? But then he gets baptized in the Holy Ghost. And now he lets that light begin shining before men. so that they can see his good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. There's only one light, though, just one. God's still looking down, and during Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's still just one light. Now, he commissions other people to do the work, but they're not lights yet. They're just operating under his mantle. But boy, once he's crucified, buried, and raised from the dead, when people begin believing on him then, it's like all of a sudden there's another light. There's a light. Oh, there's a light. There's a light. There's a light. There's a light. See, he was the firstborn from the dead. But that means there's a secondborn and a thirdborn and a fourthborn, and your number's in there somewhere, and you're lit with the same life. I remember the first time I heard Dave said that, I wanted to go, no! I so wanted to believe that Jesus had something, a life much stronger than I had. He said the same thing about Paul. He said, Paul didn't receive something more than you received. I wanted to go, no! But it is the same life. It's none diminished. It's the same life that raised Jesus from the dead. We could go verse after verse and prove that to you from Scripture. It is the same life. And it should shine the same way by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why he said, the works that I do, shall you do also. Now we'll tell you this part. Let's keep going here now. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Isn't that great? Didn't you love how that... Just hold it. I love these. Look at this. John 8. We just read it a while ago. John 8, 12. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And here it is in John 1. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. God, great. I don't know. I'm going to have a running fit. Y'all can finish the service. I'm just going to have to take off. Now, look, the light shines in the darkness. And isn't that what he said? Let your light shine. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. One translation, that comprehended is a little blind to us. It doesn't mean exactly today what it meant then. What it really saying there is the darkness was not able to extinguish it. Darkness is going to try and extinguish you. You ever hear of fiery darts? Fiery darts, eyebrows getting singed off, getting attacked, getting... how did Alan say that today? You are going to be offended. just know that. People are going to offend you, okay? But they weren't able to put out his light. And darkness is not going to be able to put out your light. There has never yet been a dark switch. There is no dark. If light is in the room, you can't come in and flip a dark switch. Darkness cannot extinguish the light. Now, I may not understand it, but darkness really has no power over light at all. Okay. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, that's John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. But that was the true light, Jesus, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now get this. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. One time I was thinking about that, and I thought, when you really start meditating Jesus' deity and Jesus the man, and he didn't operate as deity, but yet before Abraham was, I am. And your brain starts leaking out your left ear at some point. But I was thinking, when they laid that wooden cross on him, I just wonder if part of him went, I remember when I made that tree. I don't know. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own, that's the Jews, and his own received him not. But as many as received him. Hello. He's talking about you now. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but you were born of the will of God. me. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Now at the time, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, as they watched Him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's sure true. He was the only light. He was the only one on planet Earth begotten of the Father. But how many of you know in John 17, He says, Father, the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given unto them. I'll never forget the first time I heard Dave break that. He says, you know what that glory is? That is the standing of sonship. The standing that He had with the Father. When you get born again, He gives you that same glory. No longer is it the glory of the only begotten. You are begotten by the Word of God. We have been begotten of Him by the Word of God. Amen? Well, we are not normal. Didn't you know that already? We're not normal humans limited to the elements of this world. We are born of God, supernatural creatures born to span two realms. You got a flesh body from this earth, you've got a spirit born from God, and you've got a soul which is able to hear from both realms and navigate in both realms. Your soul can see the bus coming and say, don't step off the curb quite yet. The bus is coming. And that same soul can hear the voice of God and be taught and directed by it. You are an exceptional creature. You're exceptional creatures, see. Now, one thing about it here, let me find it. Got a new Bible and the pages are still sticking together a little bit. Anyway. I can't find that exact verse. Now, one thing you're going to find. Yes, sir. This morning's message really was about where we have attained. Let us so walk. Okay? I'm going to give my testimony right now. Part of it. I have attained to a new understanding that healing is in the atonement. I had heard that for years. I had a partial glimpse of it. But until I really got in and studied it out for myself, there is a change on the inside of me that I'm going to walk there and go farther. I'm not ever going to go backwards. And you can come with 10,000 doctrines and it's too late. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'll just go ahead and tell you this, but it's none yet. I'll tell you ahead of time. We're all dealing with things, okay? Something that I've dealt with my whole life off and on. Suddenly I've had victory over it like I've never had before. And I'm never going back. I'm never going back. It's letting the light shine more and more and more. Well, it's conforming to the image of Christ, putting to death the flesh. You're going to be seeing less of me in the future. Hide and watch. Now, this is a yo-yo that I've been on my whole life, up and down. There's something changing on the inside. Now, me being thinner or fatter has got nothing to do with the power of the Holy Ghost. We are going to be doing a lot of teaching about the anointing here soon. We have believed so much trash about the anointing. Trash. Concerning the anointing. We have songs that are so unscriptural. We have sayings that don't make any sense when you start lining it up with the Word of God. I'll just tell you right now, the Holy Ghost is the anointing. He doesn't come and go. He doesn't diminish or increase. How do you diminish or increase the Holy Ghost? Now, your awareness of Him can increase and decrease. Your reliance upon Him can increase or decrease. Your obedience to Him can increase or decrease. But the anointing does not come and go. You either have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you or you don't. Now, if you're still a baby Christian, split, divided, carnal, blaming everybody for everything, He may have to limit you to the gifts, and you'll never know from day to day. But that's not where He's going to take us. He intends for us to grow up to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, to walk like Him, talk like Him, have the same results that He had, be purged of the handles of ego, be purged of the handles of need for the praise of men, be purged of the handles of greed. Dear Lord, surely if you've been praying at this church very long, you're at the place now where you give the glory to Him. You know? Come on. Amen? Am I teaching or preaching? I'm not sure which. Hallelujah. Philippians 2:13. Let's go there. These are the good works. This is the bar. I know my job right now is to set the bar. I'm raising the bar where Jesus put the bar. Doesn't mean we're walking there yet. Okay? But if we don't press towards that, if we don't even see the mark, we're sure not going to press for it. Isn't that right? My job is to get it so clear you can at least see it and press towards it. Dave taught us how to press. Amen? Now look at Philippians 2:13. Boy, it's hard. In fact, I can't do it. Let's start in verse. I want to get down here to verse 13, but let's start way up here in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now say obedient. See, obedience. First level of obedience, the first level is the inner witness. You learning to submit to the new sheriff in town. Just like Nathan's been teaching, Nathan 101. And Dave taught it before him and Paul taught it before him. The first level of obedience, really walking with God, is learning to yield to that nature. That's the first, and it's, I mean, that voice speaks to you constantly, all the time. Okay? And to be honest with you, many of us are real good at violating it nearly all the time. Nobody ever amens there. Well, in various degrees. But he's bringing us, he's talking about obedience. Obedient unto death. Now, his assignment was to die on the cross. So is yours. But it's the cross of your flesh. Unless you're willing to put that flesh on the cross, how often? Daily. He says, you can't be my disciple. See, we always think about him going to the cross once. No, he didn't. He went to the cross every day. And so do we. That is how you yield to the new nature. Your flesh don't like it. It won't like it next time. It won't like it 5 years from now. I tell you what, it does get better though. I have learned, I mean, I was so addicted to nicotine. I honestly thought I honestly thought I would never be free of the craving. I've been free of it for years. I can't find anything in me that wants it anymore. Same thing with alcohol. I haven't had a drink since 1980, you know. And Lord, there for 10 years, I didn't think I could live a day without it. I'd get into a cold sweat if I realized I was somewhere where there wasn't any alcohol. And good Lord, what a lie from the devil. What I'm saying is your flesh can be retrained. But there's usually a war in that training process. Okay? But anyway, I got to get to our verse. His job was to become obedient unto death. Not only that one day that he hung on the physical cross. Every day he put his flesh on the cross. And so do we if we're going to walk according to the new nature, because the two are contrary one to the other. They always will be. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus... Boy, we're going to be teaching on authority again. We've got to come back around to authority because we're not walking there yet. Did Jesus give us his name? What was last Sunday night? The keys of the kingdom. Keys, when somebody gives you the keys, they're giving you authority to use those keys. He says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. He is sending us with the keys. That's authority. He is sending us in his name. You're going to come to the place soon where you understand that when you stand in front of a cancer patient, it is no different than if Jesus was standing there himself. I mean, I don't mean you're him, but You are standing there in the full authority, no different as if he was standing there himself. Now you tell me, how's cancer going to stand against that? It's not. But it can't, it's not just a head knowledge. We've got to literally, again, remember, an educated caterpillar cannot fly, but a transformed caterpillar can. He is literally transforming us to understand. I am here as the ambassador of the King, and heaven, when I speak in the name of the King, all the power of heaven brings that to come to pass. We're going to become those Mark 11, 23, 24 people that believe whatsoever you say shall come to pass. And doubt not in your heart, but everything you say, because when you speak, you're speaking with the authority of the King. It's not even delegated authority. It's the full authority. The name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, in other words, he's the pattern. He humbled himself. He was obedient all the way to the cross. Wherefore, as you look at his example, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, he's still talking about obedience, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. See, I can't really tell Daisy his call for Daisy. I can't tell Daisy what house he wants her to live in. I can't tell Daisy where, you know, what she's supposed to be doing next week. She's got to find that out. Isn't that right? Daisy's working out her own salvation. I know some things that he's called me to do. I know some things that he's talked about I haven't seen yet. But that's me working out. That's your blueprint. Really what we're talking about in the prayer center terms, that's the blueprint where he talks to you and tells you his plan. If we went to John, we're running out of time. Listen, Jesus knows the plan. Remember when he told Peter? It says, Peter, you're going to live to be an old man, and the word he uses there is the word that you would use for senile, where senility would normally set in. He told him, he says, you're going to live to be old, and he basically was telling him, you're going to be a martyr for me. And Peter did exactly like most of us would do. What? What about Mike? Really, he was saying, what about John? What about John over there? What? And he says, listen, if it's my will... Boy, there's so much revelation. If it's my will. What if I said it? Peter, it's not about you now. Peter, you're mine. If it's my will that you die as a martyr and John lives until I return, what is that to you? Peter, you follow me. Boy, there it is. There it is, see? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But for it is God. Oh, it is God. Remember good works? It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Peter, if I will. That John remains. We've been bought with a price. Our life is not our own anymore. Surrender, obedience. He's talking about you need to spend the time with God. Find out what he wants you to do. Like Jesus found out what he was supposed to do. You work out your own salvation. Find out what he wants and then walk it out. You become obedient to it just like Jesus did. Amen. Now, while we do that, and really, while we do that, we let our light shine. Every step of the way, you let your light shine. So that men, I want to say, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. How God anointed each and every believer in the name of Jesus to go about doing good. Because he said he sent us the same way that God sent him, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. How many is ready to let their light shine? But the world does not, a little light is good. Like I said, in darkness, you could still, I'm telling you, the world needs to see a big light. The world is in trouble. It needs that big light to shine. All right.